By the attendance that the word must have gotten out that I'm speaking to. Stand in front of this so everybody can see me and I don't blend in with the background. As you may or may not know, Scotty was not here today. Sam taught the class and Stephen presented the lesson this morning. I've been specially asked to stand still. Okay. But Stephen said, all you old people need to move your head around so it won't get stiff. So I don't know about that. Sunday night is often called, you know, the choir, or maybe just the chorus, I don't know. Sometimes the creme de la creme, or as I like to say, the cream of the crop. And so it was decided Sam would teach the class and Stephen would do the lesson. And that way I would do the least amount of damage by speaking tonight. So that's where I'm here. And so I had this thought, and occasionally I do have a thought, last Sunday, and then as Stephen taught the class Wednesday night, it kind of came together, some of the ideas. So some days like today, you just get lucky. I taught the teens this morning, had the millennium class this afternoon, this lesson, and then I had the class tonight, lesson tonight. So it's just been a great day. Now, one disadvantage I have is I don't have any preacher stories. So, you know, I do have one class story. It's kind of funny. But it involves Jesus and an egg beater, so we won't go there right now. Some of you may have heard that story. And when I think of life stories, the only thing I do is draw a blank. And we'll try to keep the blanks kind of short tonight. Scotty did tell us in Terrific Tuesdays that this one congregation, a man had a heart attack and died. And when the EMTs got there, they carried out three people before they found the dead man. So hopefully you're going to be more attentive than that, okay? So we're going to be looking at a passage. Oh, and I lost my place. Well, we may not be looking at that passage. We can start on page 2, I guess. Let me find page 1. Oh, it's stuck to page 2. Okay. So, the lesson tonight is taken from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished, and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. But after thinking about that, what exactly was finished? And that's what we want to look at tonight. During the last months that Jesus was on earth, he traveled many, many miles, all of it on foot, of course. And it said in Luke 4:14, and Jesus returned in power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding area. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Now, at this time, there may have been as many as 240 synagogues in this area. So that was a lot of territory to cover, and that was a lot of preaching. So not only was he busy walking from place to place, but he constantly had crowds demanding his attention. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record instances of these crowds and how they thronged around him. In Mark chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea. And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and from Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, A great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. And from Matthew chapter 12, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Luke chapter 5 and verse 15 records, so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed, because of his human side, even the Son of God needed to find time to rest. But he also needed time just to communicate with God. And this is a lesson that we should learn also. We need time to communicate with God. As we follow his last hours, Jesus had left Bethany, and from that time, which was probably in the morning, until his crucifixion and death, he had no rest. He had to endure the betrayal of one of his apostles. He had to endure the desertion by his closest friends. He had been beaten severely by flogging. He had been nailed to the cross. Worst of all, he had to endure being separated from God when the sins of the whole world were placed on him, causing him to cry out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember that Jewish days started at 6 o'clock p.m. because Genesis records the first day as the evening and the morning. So Jews started their days in the evening to the next morning. At the first hour, which would be 6 o'clock p.m., he had celebrated the Passover with his disciples and had at that time instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. He had been crucified at the third hour, which is 9 o'clock p.m., and was on the cross from that time until the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock a.m. At this point, he says, it is finished. After that utterance, Luke 23:46 records, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. All the pain and suffering was over. But again, what was finished? Various passages like 1 Peter 1:18 give us a clue. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times to you. So this tells us that God had this in plan even before he created everything. In Genesis 12, we have the first glimpse that all nations would be blessed through Abraham. In verses 1 through 3, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Later, outside Abraham's tent before Sodom is destroyed, we have another look at this promise that all nations would be blessed through him. Genesis 18:17-17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And in Genesis 28:18, Abram is told by God, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. We'll come back to that later. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And in Acts 7:4, Stephen stated, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell, and God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. Remember, when Sarah died, Abraham had to buy a place to bury her from the sons of Seth. And when Joseph's father died, Jacob, when he took him back to this place, he buried him in the same tomb where Abraham buried Sarah. So he didn't even have a place to put his foot, really. Certainly not a land that was capable of being described as flowing with milk and honey, as Abram was described before. Then he said to Abram, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. Stephen, in his defense in Acts 7:17, says, "But when the time of promise drew near, which God has warned Abraham, the children of Israel had been in Egypt 430 years. The time was ready for them to enter the promised land." This was one of the promises God had made to Abraham back in Genesis 12. After the death of Moses, Joshua leads the people into Canaan, and the land is divided into their tribes. Thus, the land promise is being fulfilled at this time. But was this really the finish? So far, the promise to Abraham, to your seed and all, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It has not been fulfilled. It has still remained a mystery up till this time. Jesus told his disciples in Mark 4:11 that they would be told what the mystery was. Romans 16:25 says that this mystery was kept secret since the world began. In Ephesians 1:7-9, we have stated, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself." Paul is explaining here that the mystery, all nations being blessed in Abraham, which had existed from the foundation of the world, was being revealed through the teachings of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Paul further explains in Ephesians 3:1-6, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, back in chapter 1, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, but it has now been revealed to the Spirit of by the Spirit of His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel." Note that this mystery, although spoken to Abraham in promises, is in Christ. Notice, too, that in verse 6 he says the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. We know that occasionally someone would become a Jewish proselyte. But was this the avenue by which the Gentiles were to become one body with the Jews? Were they to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses? From Colossians 1:18, we learn about that same body. And He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church. Galatians 4:4 declares, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son." When everything was in place, according to God's timetable, the mystery would be revealed. As we study through the Bible, we have the advantage of having the whole plan of salvation laid out before us. We have the whole revelation. We're told that although the prophets gave hints about it, they did not even understand what they were talking about. And we're also told that not even the angels knew what God's plan was from the first. Ephesians 2:12-16 gives us some more insights into God's plan. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in all in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. When you go back and look at Herod's temple, on the outside was a colonnade that had been constructed. In that colonnade, the Gentiles could assemble, but they could not go inside the temple. Remember, Paul was accused once of taking the Gentile in there. But no one except the high priest could go into the most holy place. In Hebrews chapter 9, it tells us that Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. And when he did that, the veil in the temple was torn in two. Christ became our high priest, and Christians became a part of the royal priesthood, making it possible for us to enter into the temple and service to Christ the high priest and be able to communicate with him directly. So everyone, regardless of any distinction between one person and another, can be one in the body. Colossians 3:28 makes this very clear. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Everyone may take advantage of becoming a new creature and being added to the church, the body of Christ. With this, it is finished. Everything that God purposed from the foundation of the world has been accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Starting with Abram, God's people were called Hebrews in Genesis 13. Jacob's name is changed to Israel in Genesis 32. In Exodus 9, the descendants of Israel were called Israelites. Throughout the book of Exodus, God refers to them as my people or the children of Israel. 2 Kings 25 says that God's people were called Jews for the first time. These different names refer to the chosen nation that God had blessed through Abraham, eventually leading to Christ. God's people have always had a distinctive name. Now that distinctive name, according to Acts 11:26, is Christian, a follower of Christ. Abraham was told all nations would be blessed through him because he obeyed God's voice. That's what we have to do. We have to obey God. If you love me, keep my commandments, John 4:14. If you don't know what these commandments are, there are those here that are ready to teach you now from the Word of God, just as Philip did with the Ethiopian eunuch. If you already know what to do, then all things are ready. If you think you have plenty of time, just reflect upon recent situations where people were taken in a moment of time. If you have any need, please respond as we sing.